I will have to admit before I start this that this particular sermon came about because of my own internal and my own personal needs. I needed encouragement, and I needed to know, you know, where exactly I stood. We all have those down times, don't we? Where we are discouraged for whatever reason, overwhelmed. If I can go back to an acronym that I have shared before, HALT, H-A-L-T. A terrible time to make decisions is when you're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. I want to add one of the A's, because I see this in the scripture that we have just read. In what is happening in Ezekiel, right at... Wait, who am I talking about? Elijah. I knew it started with an E. What is happening in Elijah's life? And it's right after a tremendous success. And see, sometimes discouragement and disillusionment can come right after a huge success. It's not tied to your circumstances, although it can be. And it's the same for me. I don't feel like that there has been any particular, you know, lack of success. I don't see any resounding successes. But it's not circumstance-driven or relationship-driven. I would like to add an A, and that is afraid. So it's H-A-A-L-T for this morning. Because that's a driving factor for Elijah. He heard the response of Jezebel, which is, I am going to make sure you are dead by this time tomorrow. I don't know about you, but I would be afraid, especially if this comes from an authority that seems to hold all the power in the northern kingdom of Israel. It's almost like someone from the mob coming up and saying, I know where you live, and I'm coming to your house tomorrow. There's nothing you can do about it. So we can see that Elijah gives us a lot of feeling and things that I think that normal human beings can have an empathy with. It's not the victory on the Mount Carmel, but what comes right after. Elijah is exhausted. You know, even if you're serving God, you can be exhausted. If you come and you serve with the Monday meal, you can be tired after that, even though you have blessed people. I can't really think of anything where you do not feel some kind of fatigue legitimately after you serve. I imagine all the worship team might feel like they need to go home and take a nap in the afternoon. It's hard for pastors on Monday, whether things went good or went bad on Sunday. Some of them don't face that, but many do. But Elijah is exhausted, he's afraid, he's discouraged, and even after seeing God move, not just powerfully, but miraculously, he finds himself in the following verses, when he does make this 40-day journey. It says, the word of the Lord came to him. Did you hear that? The word of the Lord came to him. It doesn't say God came to him. It says the word of the Lord. And in John, we know who that word is, don't we? As he's gone into the wilderness, as he lays down his head, he realizes that after he receives what he needs, that discouragement distorts reality. That's why it is a bad time for us to make decisions about things, because we do not see things clearly. When God asks him in this passage and the following passages, the word of the Lord comes and says, what are you doing here? Okay, that's all. He doesn't say, Elijah, you know better. You're my servant. There is no scolding. It's just, what are you doing here? And you can tell that Elijah has a rehearsed response because he says the exact same thing twice. We'll get to the twice a little bit later. But I want you to listen to what he says and find anything that he says that really isn't true. I have been zealous for the Lord. In other words, I've worked hard for the kingdom. Has he? Well, yeah, he has. I have been your servant and your representative. And the nation of Israel has torn down your altars. It has turned its back on your covenant. And it has killed your prophets. Is that true? Have they? Yeah, they have at that point. Now keep in mind, this is the nation of Israel. The kingdom of Judah is still there as well. And then he says, everyone is gone, and it's only me. Is that true? We'll see that later. And the reason I know it's not true is because it says before he got himself into the cave later, he left his companion behind. So even at the broom tree when he lays down, yes, he's alone, but he's alone because he made himself alone. And when he is in that loneliness, hungry, angry, afraid, lonely, which is what he's at. Where he's at the broom tree and in the cave. And he's definitely tired. First thing he does is go to sleep. He gets awakened by a spiritual being. And he finds that there is bread and water right at his head when he wakes up. I don't know if he even thought about it. You know, he gets up and he eats and he drinks and he goes back to sleep. Hey, God has already, without speaking a word, handled the hungry and the tired. He's already handled two things. He awakes again and gets fed again because there is a journey that is in front of him. One of the things that we lose perspective on when we get discouraged is we tend to think that it's all over. Failure is the last point. In reality, he hasn't failed at all, has he? Not really. But we tend to think game over. And we'll see that that's true for him. But he's told to take a journey, and that journey is for 40 days into the wilderness. But he has started that journey, and he did not receive what we might expect if we go before God, especially when we're feeling down. It's usually not what I expect before feeling down. I usually expect correction from the Father. But he doesn't receive correction. He receives sustenance, and he receives gentle care. That tells us something important, and don't miss this. We matter to God before what we do for God matters. We matter to God before what we have done for Him even comes into consideration before the heavenly throne. And that isn't changed. His care for us is there. Honestly, when I deserve condemnation, when I deserve rebuke, and when I deserve correction, and I expect that, and I think I'm going to let that drive me deeper into my malaise, that God speaks in kindness and in goodness and encouragement and supplies me with what I need, and I've seen it again and again. And that's what I hope you would grasp onto. If you are discouraged today, if it looks like you're on the hamster wheel of life, if it looks like that you don't matter and that you haven't made a difference, would you please let God tell you differently? Would you please let Him feed you and let you have the rest that you need? See, God meets Elijah's physical need before addressing his spiritual perception. You can do that. Sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is receive what God is physically providing for us. And sometimes we can get into the hungry, angry, lonely, tired because of physical things, lack of finances, etc. And that's where we come into view for each other. Did I share about Julie Smith? God provided her for us, and he provided us for her. It was in the meeting together of the saints that not only was a problem solved, but a perceived discouragement and day of mourning turned into a day of joy. We weren't the whole thing, but we were a part of it. And we had no idea when we were driving there that we were going to be. But that is because God provided for it. God orchestrated it. You see that? And God will do that for all of us. Sometimes as His people, we're called to be His provision for other people. Watch for it. Look for the door. That's what Julie was ready for. As soon as she heard there was a need for a room, boom, there it is. And I'm fairly certain she did not end up the debtor, even though we stayed there 3 nights. Isn't that beautiful? The other thing I want you to know is that God restores through patience and process. Especially, we see that especially in verses 8 to 9. Elijah is strengthened, but not instantly restored. This is an important thing. Sometimes you don't get the impression that when I say that God provides, you know, so that we can be restored, that it happens overnight. Some of the things that make us feel like we are discouraged and tired and lonely and those types of things are things that have been happening over a longer season, over a period of time. And things that are problems for us are rarely, now God can do it instantly, but most of the time it takes us time to get back out of it. We look at Elijah and say he met God and his restoration in the wilderness, in a cave, in the verses following what we read. He met God after traveling 40 days, but when he was done, he still had to travel back out again. So in reality, his journey was more than 80 days. But does that mean that his restoration wasn't real? Or that it wasn't from God? Absolutely not. Sometimes the joy is walking through a season of restoration, a season of renewal. That's actually a lot about of what Celebrate Recovery is about. Being the help that one another needs, walking with people for a season, and allowing them to be restored to a point where once again they walk with someone and walk with them in their season. You know, we have a word in that theologically speaking. You know what it is? Discipleship. As we become disciples, we make disciples. As we become harvesters, we pray that there are more, because we see that we are not enough. God meets us with presence before correction. But God also restores. When he is in the cave, he tells God his maladies. He tells the Word of God his maladies. And when he first encounters God, he says, "It's enough. It's enough. Actually, it's over. And I would just prefer to die right now." Have you ever prayed that? "Lord, I pray that you come back before it happens." I even had people when we were on the road doing plays, and they were really nervous about a play. And I had one of them, we were praying beforehand, and she prayed, "Lord, if you want to come back right now, this is a really good time." See, we want to avoid it. There's one important thing when he's in the cave that Elijah says that I want to bring out. We didn't read this part, but he says, "It is enough." And then he says, "I am no better than my fathers." Which is true. Which one of us is better than our fathers? Except when God calls. Elijah had a call from God on his life. And a call from God immediately puts you apart. See, the word holy means set apart. Now, it can happen at any different layer. In the church, we have some who are set apart. You know, this is, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, okay? Some who are set apart to be apostles. Some who are prophets. Some who are evangelists. Some who are shepherds. Some who are teachers. Took a survey recently and it confirmed what I've known for a long time. I am primarily a teacher and I'm also a shepherd. But I'm not an apostle. At least not in my regular operating of the gifts. God gives others for the vision and the building and the moving forward. Okay? So you may not be anointed to preach, but you are anointed for something. There is something that you are to do that God has set you apart for. But sometimes we get to the point, just like Elijah, where we say, it hasn't made a hill of beans a difference. If you serve on Monday night meal for 5 years, you may get to the point where you say, why am I doing this? It doesn't seem to make a hill of beans a difference. And we're not even serving beans. Thank you. But the harvest is not up to you. That's why we pray for workers for the harvest. The harvest is up to our God. And if you are serving God, we must accept you are different. Amen? You are not just like your fathers. God can break generational curses and family curses in an instant in the heart. If I followed the way of my biological father, I would be dead now. Or as one of my professors told me, dead or in jail, because he does make things new. It's a momentary process. So, he thinks he's no good, he thinks he's had no effect, and he thinks that his life should end. Because we often want quick fixes, don't we? So he just lays it back out again. And then the voice comes. He's told to go out before the Lord. And by the way, you know, it said the word came to him. And then it says that the Lord told him to go out and stand before the Lord on the mountain. And so he covers his face and he goes outside. You know what happens, right? First, there's a wind that is so strong it breaks the rocks. But it says God wasn't in the wind. Oh, no. I wanted a God of power. This is big. I need God's power in order to go forward. But God wasn't in the wind. And it says then there was an earthquake. But God was not in the earthquake. Oh. And then it says there was a fire. Ah, surely this is it. Tongues of fire, you know, the pillar of fire before the people. Surely this is God's presence. No, God wasn't in the fire this time. After all of that, there was, I don't know if the microphone picked that up. Did you get it? God spoke to him. Why we need to stop and listen. Because if we're making too much noise, we can't hear the whisper. Even though we've identified some things that Elijah was incorrect about and he needed correction, I want you to notice, I want you to go home and read what happens after this. God never argues with Elijah. He never points out the mistakes he made. You know, like you took the SAT test and you got your red mark next to what you didn't get right. He doesn't do that. You know what he does? He puts him back to work. He doesn't even say, get your focus off yourself and get it on other people. Which is essentially what happens. He says, I want you to go to Aram and I want you to anoint Hazael as the king there. And I want you to go to Jehu and I want you to anoint him as king of Israel. Replacement for Jezebel and replacement for Ahab. And then I want you to go back to your servant. And I want you to anoint him as your successor. God's solution to our doldrums is go and anoint, go and anoint, go and anoint. Go and bless, go and bless, go and bless. Go and make a future, and make a future. Yes, you're going through a tough time. But let's get to work. Let's get the business done. Amen? One of the best things you can tell someone to do if they are depressed is to give them something to do outside themselves. You told me you were depressed, and you said, well, I know there are people worse off than me. Great! Do something for them. Go find them. Ask God to open the door. Open your eyes so that you may see visions of truth you have for me. God gives them direction. Where to go, what to do, and what to do when he gets there. He also, by the way, not only reminds him of his servant, Elijah, but he says, after you've done that, there will be those who will not escape the sword of those three in succession. But there are 7,000. You think you're alone? No, you're not. You're not alone. There are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed him. And he will rebuild upon that. If it was just Elijah, it sounds impossible, does it? It may also have sounded impossible with just 7,000 against a whole nation. But let me tell you, if you know it's 7,000 and God is moving, then you know everything is okay, don't you? And can I encourage you with this today, and myself as well? We are not alone. We have each other, a greater company than there is here today. I am confident of that. But we have each other, and we have a God who is on the move. Did you know God's on the move? He's adding to his company at all times. He is raising up disciples so that people may be set free. And that includes us. What we need first is not evaluation. And I can say that confidently because God doesn't do it. It's to be reminded of God's presence and care, and to extend the same kind of care from one to another. Worship team, you come up. So the question this morning is not how do you fix, or I fix, everything. That is not the question. Maybe the question is something more like this. You could probably come up with one better than I, because you know your circumstances and how God is speaking to you. How about this? What if every one of us asked this question? Where am I in Elijah's story? Have I done something bold for the kingdom, and yet discouragement is coming? Am I asleep under the broom tree? Am I still discouraged, but I've gotten some encouragement from others? Am I feeling alone? Have I made a journey toward God, but I'm still not right because he hasn't met me yet? Are you standing in his presence? You know, just the fact that he was in the presence of God didn't necessarily fix him at that moment. What God did was fix his eyes and fix his heart. Is that where you are? Do you need God to fix your eyes and your heart? Wherever you are, I want you to know God met Elijah where he was, and he'll meet you too, with presence, patience, and purpose. Glory to the name. Glory to the name. Amen.